people not doing what they hear him say? Well, obviously, first of all, this is a matter of integrity. Absolutely. It's a hypocritical thing when people say one thing and do another. Say they believe in Jesus and don't follow his ways. That is hypocritical. It lacks integrity. And Phil Collins and others are right to call Christians out on that when we do that. Jesus was doing that. But also through this story, the story of the two builders, he shows us there's an even bigger issue that he has in mind. An even bigger issue. An issue about what it means to have strong foundations for life. Strong foundations for life. In Christchurch, we know the importance of strong foundations, don't we? We know it almost too well. Jesus' story here has shown all of us, what sort of foundations for life are strong to build on and what sort aren't. So we're going to have a closer look at this for the next few minutes. Again, it's page 1034, and there's an outline in the welcome sheets, if that helps you. We'll see two builders, two outcomes, two choices. Two builders, two outcomes, two choices. Here we go. First of all, two builders. Look again at verse 47, the number 47. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. So Jesus is talking here about someone who hears his words and does them and acts on them. What are they like? Verse 48. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. See, this builder is doing the hard work, digging deep till he gets to the rock that's underneath the soil and laying the foundations for his house on that rock. That's the person who does the hard work of putting Jesus' words into practice, like someone who's laying a solid foundation for life. Which means, of course, that Jesus is implying here that his words are like a solid rock to build your life on. And if you put them into practice, they'll give you solid foundations. But then there's the other builder. The other builder in verse 49 again, number 49. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. This person's building a house too, but all that digging is just too hard. So they don't worry about the foundations. They just start building the house on the dirt. Bit of a cowboy. This is someone who hears Jesus' words, like we all have today, but doesn't do anything with them. Maybe the person was just bored with them and heard them, but didn't really listen. Maybe this person dismissed Jesus as just another teacher, so they didn't really take time to hear how unique and powerful he is. Maybe this person listened and found Jesus very interesting, but then just got on with life and forgot about what he'd said. Whatever the case, this person doesn't do anything with Jesus' words and ends up without a solid foundation. So that's the two builders. With two different ways of building. And the different ways of building lead to two different outcomes. The first builder, who dug down deep, laid the foundations. Jesus says halfway through verse 48, a flood came and a torrent struck that house of the first builder. But it could not shake it because the house was well built. See, that house had solid foundations. And even when a great torrent struck it, it couldn't knock it over. Tragically, we've seen the power of floodwaters and torrents of water around the world in recent weeks. We know how powerful they can be. But this house is strong because it's built on strong foundations and it can stand up to the flood. Remember, Jesus is saying here that this represents someone who heard Jesus' words and does something with them. They become a solid foundation for life. I was impacted by this a little while ago, seeing this in action really. I visited someone from our church here, Monica Meadowcroft. Over the last couple of years, Monica's felt the effects of aging, ended up unable to leave her flat very often. Her mind's still very sharp, but her puff can't quite keep up. At the end of last year, myself and another minister were visiting Monica and her husband, John, and we asked how Monica was doing. And she told us of some of her health frustrations and how it was frustrating being stuck in the one place, the lack of energy. And we asked if that led her at times to question or doubt Jesus and his goodness, or whether she felt maybe Jesus had let her down in some way with this. Initially, she didn't quite hear the question, so we said it a bit more clearly. And then she looked at us and said, "No, why would I doubt Jesus? Why would I think Jesus has let me down?" Now, that wasn't just sort of some mindless response. That was her confidence coming through. I realized she still had an astonishing confidence and a peace, even in the midst of these frustrations and difficulties. I realized here is a woman who has many, many years of following Jesus, trusting him, building her life on him and his words, and I was seeing the result. She had the floods battering against her life at that point, but it had strong foundations, and it does not crumble. It has still not crumbled. Indeed, when I visit Monica and I share Jesus' words with her from the Bible, and she always asks me if I go around there and visit and I don't pull out my Bible, "You've not got something to read for me today." So she reminds me, I need to do that. But particularly when I share with her about the hope in the future that we have with Jesus, Jesus' promises for a life that goes beyond this one, she's very enthusiastic. Monica becomes very enthusiastic because even the flood of death itself can't shake the foundations of a life that are built on Jesus' words. That's what happens when you build on this solid foundation, like the first builder. But there is a different outcome for the second builder, and it is a great tragedy. The end of verse 49, Jesus speaks about the builder who's built his house on the earth without a foundation. And he says, "The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Such a tragedy. We've seen things like this, haven't we? Houses that get shaken all too easily by torrents of water or by other natural disasters because they don't have deep, solid foundations. And remember, Jesus here is speaking and pointing towards someone who hears his words but doesn't put them into practice. Hears them, but then leaves them aside, moves on from them, doesn't do anything with them. And the result, Jesus says, is a life that falls down in the flood when the floods come. And when the ultimate flood of death comes, the flood that will eventually come on all of us, there's no foundation. So our life is sure to fall down, to collapse into complete destruction, if this is us. To this point, we see how widely applicable this story actually is. Jesus wasn't in the end with this story only talking to Christians, to people who say they follow him. They were his primary audience, but also in that crowd, he was speaking that day to just general people who'd come along who were interested in him. Everyday people who were just having a bit of a listen to what he had to say. Maybe someone had invited them along to hear this teacher. Maybe they'd seen the people flocking to Jesus and they wanted to join in and see the spectacle. Maybe they were interested in the latest teachers and wisdom from the latest gurus, so here they are listening to this new teacher. All these people who'd come together to hear Jesus for all different kinds of reasons. And it's striking, Jesus says at this point, that anyone who hears his words and doesn't put them into practice, anyone who doesn't do something with them is like someone who's building a house with no foundations. This is his message for all. When we hear Jesus' words, we've got to do something with them. Which leads us to the last point. Two choices. Each of us here are faced with two choices about what to do with Jesus' words. In the end, All of us are going to be in this story. We're all going to be one of these builders. You will, I will. And the choice is, do we build our lives on Jesus and his words? Or do we not build our lives on Jesus and his words? It's important to see what that means. As soon as we hear building our lives on Jesus and his words, we might think, oh, this is about keeping the rules, about being a good person, about doing the right thing. But it is more than that. I'll try to show you what I mean. There's a story, quite a lot like the one Jesus told, that was told by the rabbis around Jesus' time. But the big difference in the rabbis' version of the story is the one who builds a solid house, they say, builds it on multiple good deeds and on Torah study. So it's study of Torah, the law, Jewish law. So good deeds and study of the law. They say that's how you build a solid house. Jesus is saying something much more radical than that, much deeper. It's not just about law and doing good deeds. It's about a person, about building life on Jesus himself and the words he says. And Jesus' words are not just about, not even primarily about, our actions and our good behavior. They include that, and it's right for Phil Collins to call out Christians when we don't behave the way Jesus says. But deeper and more centrally than that, if you read through one of the biographies of Jesus, you'll see more centrally Jesus' words are about what he came to do and what it means for us to trust in him. For instance, a little while before this in Luke's gospel, Jesus said this, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's saying he didn't come to save people who've done everything right, the righteous. He came to call people who haven't done everything right, who've messed things up. He's called to call people like that back to God, people like you and me. Or later on in the gospel, he says that he came to seek and save the lost. The lost, those who've lived, who are living without him as the foundation, that's who he came to save. Not people who've got it all together, who've done the right thing, who've kept the law. No, those who are lost, who have not built their lives on him. He's come to save us so that when the floods in life do come, or when the great flood of death comes, which will come to us all, when that happens, our foundation can become solid because he will be our foundation. And he is solid. And he backed that up. He went to the cross to die for us in order to bring us back to God. In order to bring lost ones like us home. That's why his words are such a solid and precious foundation to build on. They're the words of one who died so that you can have life with God now and forever. In order to put those words into practice, those kind of promises of Jesus, in order to hear them and do something about them, what you do is you trust in Jesus. You come to him and say, yes, Jesus, I will trust in you that you died for me, that you came to save the lost like me, and I will now listen to you and build my life upon your foundations. That's the choice. That's before each of us now. Will we do that? Will we build our life on Jesus and his foundation? Or will we not? What will your foundation be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see how good Jesus is as a foundation for our life, and to build upon him from this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.